Perek Tzor Tishachu. And we learned the Braisa on the bottom of Memvav and Aleph that a bracha has to be Pasachas Bebaruch, Bechasem is Bebaruch. What kind of a bracha is that? That's what we call a bracha Arucha. There's a bracha Tzor and there's a bracha Arucha. The bracha Tzor is like Bichas Hanen and a Bichas HaMitzvahs. And a bracha Arucha is Pasachas Bebaruch, Bechasem is Bebaruch. Then it says Chutz mi Bichas HaPeris, Bichas HaMitzvahs. That's a bracha Tzor. So it's only Pasach is Bebaruch, it's not Chasem is Bebaruch. Or even if you have a Bracha Arucha, if it's Bracha Smucha L'Chaveto, a Bracha Achrayim should be Kriya Shema, then it does not have to be Pasach is Bebaruch. Yesterday we noticed that seems to be a dispute between Rashi and the Rambam how to read this din of Bracha Achrayim should be Kriya Shema. Rashi writes explicitly, Tazi writes the same, that Bracha Achrayim should be Kriya Shema is an example a bracha smucha l'chaveta. It's smucha to the first two brachas before kriyashma. The Rambam does not learn like that. The Rambam reversed the order. When the Rambam quotes this, where did we find the Rambam? Beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. In Hilchos Brachas, the Rambam says, the principle is you have to be, when you have a bracha arucha, it has to be pasachas bebaruch, except if it's a bracha achrayim, it should be kriyashma, or if it's a bracha smucha l'chaveta. He reversed the order, and he thinks that Emes v'yatzev is not smucha l'chaveta. And it's a different reason why. It's an exception to the rule. It's not because it's a bracha smucha l'chaveta, that's why. No. Bracha smucha l'chaveta is one exception to the rule. A bracha achrayim shevi kriyashma is not a smucha l'chaveta, and it's an exception to the rule for some other reason. So regarding this din, a bracha smucha l'chaveta, that you don't have to be pasachas b'baruch, so there's a machlekes, the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam. The machlekes appears in Ksubis. People are more familiar with Ksubis in yeshivas. They're more familiar with Ksubis than they are with brachas. So the top Tosfos is on Ches Amud Aleph. If one is not familiar with this top Tosfos, so you just look on Daf Yud Aleph on the base. On Daf Yud Aleph on the base, the Gemara has the question: what is this? What should the nusach of Birchas HaTorah be? So the Gemara asks, "My Mevarach." Right in the middle of Yud Aleph and Beis, there's a period. Then there's a little bit empty space. The Gemara says, "My Mevarach." What exactly is the text of the Birchas HaTorah? Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmol Shekadoshem Sason Lasek B'Divrei Seir. Rav Yechon Misayim B'Hochi Harav Nashem Lakenes Divrei Seir Rascha B'Fino etc. 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 Rochat Hashem Hamla Mitur Alam Yisrael. Rav Hamnuna says, "Shabachav Manim Kol Ham Naslanes Dayrasai." Baruch Ata Hashem Nosan Ator. Amar Rav Hamnuna is in Mulish of a Bracha Silkach. Rav Hamnuna likes this third Nusach HaBracha, the one that he composed. So he says, Hilkach Nemrinu Lekulu. The Gemara concludes, Hilkach Nemrinu Lekulu. That's the Girsa that we have. You should say all three. Lekulu usually doesn't apply if it's only two. So the way it says in the Gemara, Hilkach Nemrinu Lekulu, means that there are three distinct brachas. The first bracha is Lasik B'Divister, the second bracha is Harvna, and the third bracha is Hashanasalanu, Shabachavanam Kol Hamanasalanus Tairosai. So that's the girsa that's printed in our Gemara. So on the side, on the margin, on the side, on Yud Aleph on the base, they refer you to the Taisus Kinsubis Tavches Amen Aleph, and to our Taisus Amen Vav Amen Aleph, and to the Taisus in Psochim. They keep on quoting the Rabbi Natam. The Rabbi Natam says that Smucha Lechavato doesn't have to be Pasachas Bebaruch only if the preceding bracha to which it's Samach is a bracha Arucha. If the preceding bracha is a bracha Tzar, that's not called Smucha Lechavetah. So Rabbi Natam says regarding Birchas Nisuin, that you say under the Chuppah, or the same, the Sheva Brachas that you say at a Suda Sheva Brachas. So let's see if it has the Nusach HaBrachas here. Doesn't have? Okay, has the bracha to recite when you go to the cemetery. How come it doesn't have a bracha that you recite when you get married? Married is once in a lifetime. Okay, cemetery is more of a... Let's see. Doesn't have? Has a bris and has a pinyan aben. So they didn't get married? They had a bris and a pinyan aben and they never got married. Okay, it's America. Okay, everything is possible. So what... Yeah, that's what I'm looking. Yeah.
So sitter.
Yeah.
Running
at
that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why. Okay. Good. Okay. I hope that's the reason. So what do we have? We have Sois Tosis V'Sagol HaKor, then you have Samech T'Samech Reim HaHuvim. Okay. Very good. So we have, you first say Bor Piagov. Okay. Then you say Shahakol Baruch Hu. Then you say Yotzeh Horem. Then you say, so these are all Brochas Ktzoris. So the in Ksubas Dav Chesem and Aleph, Rashi and Tosis raise a question. You know you're going to start with Bor Piagov. So why does the next bracha Shachol Baruch Havod start with Baruch Atah Hashem? It's a smucha lechaveto. So why don't you just begin without Baruch Atah Hashem? So they say no, it's going to be a bracha k'tzara. So what are you going to say? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Bor Piagofen v'Shachol Baruch Havod. So it sounds like it's one bracha. You're going to make it longer just unnecessarily. So you have no choice. Then you say the next bracha is going to be Yotzeh Horem. Very short. So even if you treat it like a smucha lechaveto, what are you going to say? Shahakol Baruch Chvoda v'yotzer ha'odom. So it doesn't sound like a separate bracha. So you have to begin with a baruch. Okay. The fact that each one of these begins with Baruch Atah Hashem doesn't necessarily prove the first bracha is Baruch Piyah Gofen, the second bracha Shahakol Baruch Chvoda, the third bracha Yotzer ha'odom. The fact that the second and the third brachas would begin with Baruch Atah Hashem, okay, Melech Olam, does not necessarily prove the theory of the Rabbeinu Tam that in order to be smucha lechaveto, the preceding bracha has to be a bracha arucha. Because over here, maybe even a bracha ktsara preceding our bracha is also smucha lechaveto, also satisfies this requirement. But it's such a short, the second and the third brachas are so short. What are you going to abridge over here? You can't leave out the baruch atah. The shayla is the fourth bracha. Fourth bracha begins, baruch atah Hashem, so that has a lot of content to it. So why does that have to be pasachas bebaruch? Rabbi Natam says, this is the answer. Because it's not called smucha lechaveto, because the preceding bracha yotzeh ha'odom is a bracha ktsara, and that doesn't satisfy the requirements of smucha lechaveto. It's only smucha lechaveto if the preceding bracha is a bracha arucha. The other Balei HaTosis say no. Tosis says on Chesem Anam. How can you abridge it? What are you going to say? The third bracha is going to be baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam yotzeh ha'odom. Then you're going to start the fourth bracha. Vasha yotzeh sonam b'tzalm etzalm nusav nisa. Sounds like it's one bracha. It blends in. Sounds like it's one. So in order to Leolam, the Rashbam disagrees. The Rav Zangam was the older brother of the Rabbeinu Tam. He used to learn with Rashi. And the Rabbeinu Tam was a young child when Rashi died. So they had a lot of time to disagreements, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rashbam says that smucha lechaveto is good even if the preceding bracha is a bracha ktsara. The reason why the fourth bracha, Shiatzah Tam Mitzama, begins with Baruch HaTor is the same reason why the second and the third brachas have to begin with Baruch HaTor. It's so short. If you combine it, it'll sound like one bracha. So true, the fourth bracha, Hashiyat Tzalam Tzalma, etc., is a long bracha. But if you combine it with Yotze Ha'odam, Hashiyat Tzalam Tzalma, sounds like it's one bracha, the exact same thing, Yitziris Ha'odam. Why do we talk to have two brachas on Yitziris Ha'odam is a good question. So the Gemara and Ksubis discussed that. The Gemara and Erevin, the Gemara and Ksubis discussed. Why do you have two brachas that say the exact same thing? The answer is not exactly the same thing. There's something different. Here, the fifth bracha starts Sois Tosis V'Sogel HaAkor. The sixth bracha starts Samech T'Sama. Each one is smucha lechaveto to the preceding bracha. So both the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam are satisfied. Because the preceding bracha was a bracha arucha. That was a bracha arucha. So they're both satisfied. So the Birchas Nisuin is covered. Rabbeinu Tam is happy and the Rashbam is happy. How come the last bracha Shebor Sasson V'Simcha? Why does that pasachas v'baruch? That's a smucha lechaveto l'chol ha'deis also. The sixth bracha was samech t'samach reim ha'uvim baruch atah Hashem v'sameach ha'asam ekala. So why does the seventh bracha have to be pasachas b'baruch? So that's what Rashi and Tosfos said. No, sometimes you say the seventh bracha without saying the first six. Sometimes if you don't have a panim chadoshes, you just say the bracha asher baruch sasam v'simcha. So since sometimes it comes alone, so you can't really consider it the end of a series of bracha. Sometimes it stands alone. Fine. So this Birchas Nisuin, everyone is happy with. No machlek is the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, but they argue here in Brochas. The Rashbam doesn't see any problem with Harevna. There are three Brochas, Ashekzan, Lasik, Vidibre, Sora, is a Brocha Ktsora, regular Birchas HaMitzvah. Then you say, Harevna, Hashem, Lokan, is Dibisai Roscha, that's a Brocha Arucha, and it's not Pasachas Bebroch because it's Smucha Lachabato. So the first Brocha, Lasik, Vidibre, Sora. Fine. The Rabbeinu Tam is not happy with that because he thinks that in order to be considered, in order to qualify to be a bracha smucha lechaveto, we require that the preceding bracha should be a bracha arucha. So it's not a bracha arucha. That's a one-line bracha. So that's why he's bothered. How come Harivno doesn't begin with Baruch Atah Hashem? So he says, you got to add a Vav, the Harivno, and it's only one bracha. Then it comes out, if you want to recommend, we should say all of the above brachas, you can't say Hilchach Namrina Likulhu. We should recite all the three brachas. There are no three. According to Rashbam, there are three separate brachas. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there are only two. So the Rabbeinu Tam crosses out the last word. He changes the gears. In our Gemara, it says Hilchach Namrina Likulhu. We should say all of the three brachas. And the Tosfos there in Ksubis, that Chesam and Aleph quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, V'loigasina Hilchach Namrina Likulhu. Dimkein Avi Mashmad Shalosh Brachas saying. So the girsa should be, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, the girsa should read, L'kach Narmino Litra Vayhu. You have to say both. That's the top tesis in Ksuvah's Dav Chesam and Al. The two girsas how to read the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Tam is also bothered our tesis, on Mem Vav and Meralef, this big fat tesis on the bottom. Rabbeinu Tam is also bothered with the brocha. Right after So the Rashbam holds that it's not a problem. How come it's not posachas b'baruch? It's smuchel achavito. It follows the bracha of hamavishenim einoyis nemom yafapoy. So smuchel achavito. You don't have to be posachas b'baruch. The Rabbeinu Tam is not happy because hamavishenim einoyis a bracha k'tzara. So he thinks that that doesn't qualify to make the next bracha into a bracha smuchel achavito. So he has to add anavav, the same trick that he did over here, the harifna. He adds anavav and he makes it into one brocha. So he adds anavav over here, he wrote some lufanach and makes it all into one brocha. So when the chazan says the brocha, ma'avishen mei nois, the mami, apapai, krank to Rabbi Natan, machlik za Rabbi Natan and the Rashbam, should you say amen? Did he finish a brocha or not? So that's why the minig is that the chazan says it softly. He doesn't say it out loud in order not to put everybody into a predicament. They don't all know whether they're supposed to answer amen or not. Machlegs the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam. The same thing when the chazan recites the Bichas HaTorah out loud, and some shuls, chazan says out loud. So he's going to say, Lasik B'divrei Sar, it's going to be a machlegs the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam, whether he say amen. Has he completed a bracha or he's in the middle of a bracha? Middle of a bracha, you're not supposed to say amen. We do it all the time. We say amen in the middle of bracha. The chazan says, Yalaviyah, we say, Toibu v'levracha, amen, v'sasa m'simcha, amen. No, what are we saying, Yalaviyah? Yes.
With
the
Tikkun
HaShuas, very
often he gets tired and he makes
promises
because he messed it
for
the people, and then he will say that
brocha out. Yeah, he has no choice. Yeah. All year long, he can tell a chazan, say, Lasik Dirisar softly, so he won't put everyone into a predicament. They won't know whether to answer amen or not. On Shavuos, he has to say it out loud. Because everybody stayed up all night, so it's a suffix whether they should recite Bichas HaTor. So the chazan has to say out loud. So we're choishes for the Rabbi Natam, so we don't say amen. So we don't say amen. If you would say amen, would it be a hefsek? No, no. Probably would not be a hefsek. Let's say the chazan says, the Baal Tekeh says the bracha l'shma kol shofar, or he reads the Megillah. The Baal Kor reads the Megillah, says, Asher Shem Tano, Amikra Megillah, Shachyano, Shosanisim, and Shosanisim, Shachyano. So the Dogim Levavah writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that the Tzibut should only say amen, they shouldn't say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shema, because Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shema would constitute a hefsek. And the Ksav Sefer writes that his father, the Chasam Sefer, never made this announcement in shul that the Balabat, the mini yeshivas, they all make it announced. No one should say Baruch Hu Roshma because being yotzi with the bracha of the Baal Tekeh, or with the bracha of the Baal Kari who's reading the Megillah. But by Balabatim, a lot of Balabatim answer amen. So the Ksav Sefer writes that his father never made such an announcement, and his father knew that all the Balabatim were answering Baruch Hu Roshma, and he thought that it wasn't a hefsek, nishgefel. It's hard to say that if you're going to say amen, it's going to be a hefsek. You won't be yotzik. So he said amen in the middle. See, we say amen all the time. When Yalav Yavu, the chazan, when someone says Yalav Yavu out loud, they say, Yagia zechanein afikdein abiyom rashachayrish hazev. We say, yes, zechanein Hashem kain abo the toib. Everybody says amen. If akdein abo the vrach, everybody says amen. If ashen abo the chayim, everybody says amen, and so on. So Rav Soloveitchik was mocked, but you're not allowed to say amen in the middle of a bracha. Most of the achrayim are not makbid. No. So he said amen in the middle of bracha. So the world doesn't come to an end. Rabbi Bad Yosef has a tshuva where he quotes the minority of achrayim say like Rav Soloveitchik that you're not allowed to say amen in the middle of a bracha. And most of Mekel they say nish gefelach. But over here, our practice is by the lasik b'divrei seira that we don't say amen because of the machlek is the Rashbam and the Rabbi Natam. And the same thing, Amar B'Sheni Me'ino, is right, the same machlek is the Rashbam and the Rabbi Natam. Is that considered a brocha smucha l'chavato or not? So we have the chazan and says it softly, so no one will get involved in this machlokes. Yeah, yesterday Rabbi Reis mentioned the top tesis on Amud Beis. Tesis raised the question on Amud Beis, the bracha of the Haftarah. Let's see. This has the Shabbos Dikah davening also. Okay. The bracha after the haftar. So called Halloween, Sadiq Kela Namah Homer, Sam she called Varada MS what Sadiq. So this is already a touched up Siddha. So this has Naman in the same paragraph, it just has a comma, until you say, Okel Hanaman Bechold Varav. This is already an amended Siddha. But in the old Siddurim that the Balei HaTosfos had, that was a separate paragraph when you get most of the Siddurim. When you get to Naman, it's a separate paragraph and a separate line, and it's printed in big letters, like it's the beginning of a new paragraph. So that's what Tosfos says. What is it? These are two different brachas. The first one is Tzurkol and Tzadik B'chol Kel Anamim from Mevi Yisem Shkol Dvar Rav Mes for Tzadik. Then Naaman is another bracha, and it's Mucha Lachavata to the first bracha. It's a little strange. So that's what Tosfos says. No, the whole thing is one long bracha. You're not supposed to say Amen. Shkol Dvar Rav Mes for Tzadik. Tosfos writes in Sochem, you should not say Amen, because the one who got mafta didn't finish the bracha yet. It's not finished till you say Hakel Anamim B'chol Dvar Rav. So Frektesis Akasha, how come it's in a separate paragraph and it has big letters? Naman Antar does not indicate that it's a separate bracha. So they say no. They say the reason why it's written Lekachu Nichtav Godol, why is it written in big letters in a separate paragraph? Shebiyamim Harishonim, in the days of the Gaonim, or earlier in the days of the Talmud, possibly. Tosfos writes the last line, Shehoi Hatinok Magia Lusham, used to give maftit to children. I remember I used to be one of the few people in the shul who knew how to say the trapa mafta. So I always got mafta before my bar mitzvah. I always got mafta once every 6 weeks. I always got mafta. So when the tinuk probably means a child before bar mitzvah. When the tinuk would get mafta and he would get to the bracha at the end, so everybody would chime in and say, Namon, atasham, namarim, derech, 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 achor, lo yashuv rekom. And then the bar mafta would take over and say, he would say that also, Namon. He would say, "Oh, v'kikel melech neman v'rahmanat abroch adar Hashem kel neman b'chol devarav." So, since everybody would say along with him, that's why they put it in big letters and they wrote it in a separate paragraph, not to indicate that it's a separate bracha. No, it's not that it's a bracha smucha lachavato. No, it's all one long bracha. Hakel neman b'chol devarav is all one long bracha, and the big letters is to indicate. Everyone would stand up. Everybody was sitting the whole time that he said that the tinek said maftir, and so everyone would stand up. They would say just this line together with him, and then the bal maftir would continue to say the end. So that's what Rabbi Reis mentioned yesterday, that. There is a very old minik that the kids of Shulchan Aruch makes fun of. He says, doesn't understand where it comes from, what it's all about. That when the Balkari is reading the Megillah, so everybody, the Balkari pauses right at the beginning of Aseres Menachem, and everybody says along with him. So we know the Gaonim write that there are four psukim in the Megillah. There are 10 psukim all year long, psukim of Nechama and of Tshuva and of Slicha the Kapara and of Simcha, that the minik is that the Tzibah says along. What you give me this. On a tiny sea, but when the Balkur is laning, so everybody says, Hashem, Hashem, Karach, Mechan. They say, Salach, Talav, Aneinu, Lechat, Aseinu, and Chaltanu. You say along with the Balkur. Then what else do you say? Four psukim in the Megillah. Everybody says along, I forgot already, the four psukim. Hidam, I started with Simcha, and Sasmi, Kar. Then the last pasuk, a couple of psukim, and everybody says along. So that meaning of the Mikra Megillah saying along, that's part of a larger meaning, that part of the connected with the same meaning that on a tiny sleeper we say along with the Balkuri, Hashem Hashem Kevach Mechanun, and there were several other haftaras where there are psukim of Slicha and Mechila and Shuva and Kapara, where the meaning was that they said along. I think the Gaonim write that there are minigas and throughout the whole year it adds up to 10 psukim. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says he doesn't know where this minig came from. and what it's based on. Why should everybody say the Aseres Bani Haman together with the Balkari? What's wrong with being Yotze with the Balkari? He doesn't understand. So the and then there's another minig that we have in Ksivas HaMegillah, that you have Aseres Bani Haman takes up a whole column. The other columns have Aseres Bani Haman only has how many? 11 lines. Ish, V'yeis. No, Aseres Halofim, Ish, V'yeis, Parshandos, V'yeis, Dom, Heis, Apach. If Aseres Bani Haman take up 10 lines, and then the first line is Ish, V'yeis. So it's 11 lines. So the Megillah usually has 21 lines or so, something more than 11 lines. What do you do over here with 11 lines? So they usually make the Aseres Bani Haman in big letters. Big letters. There is no such Masorah. We have a list in the Masorah. Which letters are supposed to be large? Which letters are supposed to be small? The Aseres Bani Haman is supposed to be regular size. Then you have big letters. Even with the big letters, doesn't take up the whole space on the whole page. So you have big. You have extra special spaces in between the first line and the second line and the third line and the fourth line. So that poses a problem also. When you have an extra line, empty space in between one line and the other, that constitutes a psucha. Whenever you wrote, what's a din if you finished writing a pasuk till the end of the line? You're supposed to have a psucha. So you're supposed to have a psucha. You're supposed to leave empty space, enough space till the end of the line, that you should be able to put in 9 letters. Here you wrote till the very end of the line. So what do? So the Rambam might think right. The Rambam and the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch right and Hilchos Sefer. You have to leave an empty line with nothing written, and then you start the next paragraph on 2 lines later. What's it then if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong? So the Gemara said, if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, it passels the whole Sefer Torah. Question in a Megillah, would it passel? Okay, maybe in a Megillah Sester it wouldn't passel, but if it would have been a Sefer Torah, it would passel. And a Megillah Sester, l'chatchila, they're not supposed to do it. So what's going on over here? We don't understand. Why does everybody say along that Aseres Bani Haman, deep dark secret, if the kids of Shulchan Aruch is unhappy about it? He doesn't understand why. Why? Who said we should write the Aseres Bani Haman in big letters? Why do you have empty spaces in between the whole thing? No one understands. So the Vilna Gaon says that there's a Yerushalmi that says Aseres Bani Haman should be Ish Berosh Adaf and Aseres Besof Adaf. So it sounds like it should take up a whole column. So the Vilna Gaon writes in the Bir Agro that that's not what it means. You can have a column with 20 lines, 40 lines, as tall as your Megillah happens to be. You should have Ish on the somewhere in the middle of the column. You should have Ish, the Yais, Parshandos, etc., and then Aseres, and then you go Vaita in the same column. It just means that this should be written Ariach Agabi, Ariach Leveno, Agabi Leveno. When you have the Shiras Hazino, you have the Shiras Hayam, so you have Ariach Agabi Leveno, you have Leveno, Agabi Ariach. You have little bit written here, a little bit written here. Then you have something written in the middle. Then you have written on the two sides. Then you have written in the middle, and so on. So you have that's called Ariach Agabi Leveno, Leveno Agabi Ariach. You don't have an empty space all the way through, because the Gemara says when you see the bricks across the street, so the bricks are not lined up one on top of the other. You have one brick is on top of this half of that brick and the other half of the other brick, in order that the building should hold better together. So the Shiras Hayam and the Shiras Hazina, we want to have a kiyum. All the everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said b'nevu, everything that Ben Yisrael said b'nevu. So you want to have a kiyum, so you build Ariach Agabi Leveno, Leveno Agabi Ariach. But the Aseres Bani Haman had a mapala, so we don't want them to have any kiyum. So we write them in a form of a shira. That's the masorah. It's supposed to be written like a shira, but not Ariach Agabi Leveno. You have Ariach Agabi Ariach and Leveno Agabi Leveno. You have empty space in the middle. So they had a mapola. They're not going to be rebuilt again. They're not going to be reconstituted. They had a mapola, and that was the end of them. Yeah. So the Vilna Gaon says he doesn't see bichlal why people make it into a whole column. It does not have to be a whole column. In the middle of a column, you have to start. The word Aseres should be the beginning of the line. Ish, V'yeis, then Aseres Bnei Haman. It should end off Aseres, and then Bnei Haman and go back in the same column. But because somebody understood that it means it should be a separate column, so those who want to do Amidas Chasidus, the Chayyodim quotes this. The Vilna Gaon was opposed to making big letters and having empty spaces with his Namasar to have empty spaces. So those who are makbit to have a Chayyodim's Megillah, that the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end, every column only has 11 lines. When you get to this column, it has 11 lines. Like all the other columns, they all have 11 lines. So you don't have to make big letters for the Aseres Bani Haman. But in most Megillahs that are taller than 11 lines, that's the Chayyodim Zayin Fah. make the whole Megillah 11 lines from the beginning to the end, so this column, every column should only have 11 lines. I said, this column will be written the same as all the others. They all have just 11 lines. It won't be written in big letters. But most of the practice, you write it in big letters. So what's that all about? So that's what the Ragachava said. Just like Taisa says over here, the word Ne'amon is written in big letters to indicate that everybody should chime in with the Tinuk is saying the Haftarah. So the reason why they wrote that, they developed the minhag to write Aseres Bnei Aaron in big letters, not because it's such a masor and ksivas haTanach. We have certain words, Shema Yisrael, the ayin is a big letter. No, what else? Hashem Echad, the dalet at the end is a big letter. Bereishis, the base of Bereishis, big letters. We have big letters. Not that the such a masor should be written in big letters, the Aseres Bnei Aaron. No, we want to imply to everyone they should all sing along with the chazan. All the Aseres Bnei Aaron. Whatever you write in big letters is an indication everyone should say along. Why in the world should everybody say along? What's the reason for that? So that's what the Ragachava gave a suggestion. That the Balkaris might say the whole Tzibur Shemei Koine, that's fine, he's might say on the whole Kriya Samagilah from the beginning to the end. But how can it be Maitziyas with the Neshima Achas? The Gemara says that Aseres Bnei Aaron should be recited the Neshima Achas. So it's good enough that we accomplish with Shemei Koine. It's considered as if we read the whole Megillah, but to say it's considered as if we read Aseres Bnei Aaron, Neshima Achas, how can you say that? So in order to accomplish, everyone should have, the Balkari has been Neshima Achas, but in order to accomplish that everyone should have the Neshima Achas, so that's why you require that every person should say along. That's the justification that the Ragachava gives. And he says the big letters is based on this Tosfos. Yeah, the Shaz, but the big lines, if you skip an extra line, so you're putting a Psucha where it doesn't belong. So that's what the Achreinim Farem for. It's a little questionable. If in this column, how do you know whether you have an extra line or you don't have an extra line? There's a minimum of how much space you have to leave between one line and the other. What's the maximum? There's no maximum. What if you want to have a very neat Sefer Torah, very neat Megillah, you want to have two empty, you want to have triple space. Instead of having double space, you want to have triple space. You want to have four blank lines in between every line and the next line. Isn't that? So you don't declare that that's considered a psucha where it doesn't belong. The whole Megillah, from the beginning to the end, that's the way you're on. So that's what the Achreinim Amiyashiv, you treat each column independently. If on this column you have 11 lines, and the space between the first and the second is the same as the space between the second and the third, and that's the same as between the third and the fourth, so it's uniform, so even though in the other columns this is considered an extra empty line in between the first line and the second line, but you don't have to who says you have to judge this column in contrast to all the other columns? You judge this column on its own merit. This column on its own merit doesn't have any empty lines, doesn't have any extra spaces in between one line and the other. The space between each of the 11 lines is uniform, so it's not considered even a psucha where it doesn't belong. But yeah, but I think a Megillah Esther doesn't pass if you have a psucha where it doesn't belong. But the shad is even l'chatchila, you're really in violation of any. So that's about Achreinim Amiyashiv the minute.
Come
up with the shiur of Neshima Achas from? Did they take that from Din D'Oraisa? Or did they just make up this shiur that it's more l'chatchila to say Neshima Achas?
The Gemara
says,
no, I don't think
there's any Din D'Oraisa like that, and you have to say something with Neshima Achas? No. No, it's just to indicate that they all died approximately at the same time. They hung them all up. I don't know, they hung them all up after they were dead already? They did Taliyah after they were dead, or they gave them death by hanging. I'm not sure. What does it say in the Megillah? I don't remember. Doesn't say, one way or the other. Whether it was death by hanging or they hung them up after. By us, there's a din of Taliyah. Behumas, Vasilisa Salaites. Gibish, Chet Mishpat Mabes, Behumas. Vasilisa Salaites. By us, there's a din of hanging after the person is dead, but not death by hanging. Yeah, so the Neshima Achas is to indicate that they died approximately the same time. They were all killed at the same time. I don't know if there's any cane there, right? Then the end of the Tesis, a member of Amar Aleph, Tesis raised the question regarding the Baruch HaAchreina after one gets an Aliyah, Shanasan Lana Teres Emes. Why is that Pasachas B'Baruch? Why shouldn't that be Smucha L'Chaveto to the Baruch HaShabach HaBonim before the Aliyah? Just like Yishtabach HaSmucha L'Chaveto to Baruch Shama. And you halaluch smucha lechaveta to the Brachas HaMitzvah before the Mikra, before the Kriyas HaHalel. So why shouldn't our Shana Salman the Teres Emes, the bracha after the Aliyah, be smucha lechavata to the bracha before? So we had the Teretz that the Ritva suggested in Megillah. He says, Mim Mina in a Chaitzitz, Mim Shana Mina Chaitzitz. He says that by Halal and by Psukkah Zim, everything is Shevach, Shevach, and Shevach. But over here, it's Kriyas HaTeretz, same thing, the bracha after you finish reading the Megillah. So the bracha before, the three brachas before are all Shevach. The bracha after Haravis, Riveinu Adonis Inenu, is also Shevach. Mikra Megillah itself is not really Shevach. So that's what he answers, the Ritva answer. That's not called Smucha Lechavato, because it's Mim Shein Amino is Chaitz. It's only Smucha Lechavato if the middle part would also be Shevach. Yeah. But Taisa doesn't give that answer. Taisa thinks it really should have been Smucha Lechavato. So Taisa answers, because the Mishnah says in Megillah, it says Daf Chof Aleph, that Bizman Atanoim, the practice was that only the Kohen who got the first Aliyah said the bracha before Ashabacha Banu. And the one who gets the last Aliyah said the bracha Shenasalon, who says such a long pause between one and the other. Vika Hefsigodl Ben Rishon La'achroin, such a long Kriyas HaTorah. Yeah, how long is it by us? Half an hour. Yeah, but by us, we don't have a Meturgamon. Zman HaGemar, they used to have a Meturgamon, so that used to take hours. It used to take a long time. And the Meturgamon didn't just say Targum Onkelos. He would ad lib. He would give Mishalim also, give drushes in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah. So it take a long time. But because it's so long, apparently it was longer than Psukkah de Zimra, for sure. Longer than Psukkah de Zimra. So that's what Taisa says. It doesn't qualify as a bracha smucha lechavata. We mentioned the Ravid holds that the Alakai Neshama Shenasat to be Toherahi is smucha lechavata tahamapil. That's 8 hours in between. You get 8 hours of sleep. Kishanti Yoz, says Shulchan Aruch, you should sleep 8 hours, Aleph Zion. It's Gematria 8. The Ramah says everyone should sleep 8 hours every day. Yashanti Yoz, Yanuach Li. So the Ravid obviously doesn't agree with Taisa Teretz. But Taisa says it's Ike Hefzik Gadol. So that's Taisa doesn't agree with the Ravid's Teretz, that's for sure. Taisa was bothered with the Lakai Nesham Shanasa to be Tahiri. So they didn't give the Ravid's Teretz that Smucha Lachavata. That was 8 hours ago. They're not going to go for that. So they say since it's such a long pause, it doesn't appear to be smucha lechavata. 45 minutes later, or an hour and 45 minutes later, 2-3 hours later, it doesn't appear to be smucha lechavata. So that's why they instituted that the bracha achrona should be pasachas bevar. So even though in the days of Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara says they're in Megillah and that daf, because there were nechnasim and yotzim, there were people who were going in and going out, so there were people who heard the first aliyah, then they went to the Kiddush Club, and they left in the middle. So they never had they never heard, they weren't there when the last Ayla Latara said Hashanah Salam. Well, the people who came in late, they were Zrizim Akdim in the midst, they went to Kiddush Club before the Kriyas HaTorah began. So they missed the bracha before, Hashabacha Banu. So they never heard the bracha before. So because they were Nechnasim and Yotzim, so the Rabbi Shmuel instituted in Bavel at Takana that we follow today, that every Ayla Latara says the bracha before and after each Aliyah. So even though the Aliyah is very short, the Aliyahs are shorter than Pesukah de Zimra, way shorter than Halel. So now, the way we have it today, so the bracha after the aliyah should really be Eino Pasachas Bibarach, because it's so short, it's mamish more smucha lechavata than the Pesukah de Zimra, and then the halal. So the text says, no, loizazu bimkoyma. The Nusach HaBracha didn't change since initially, when they composed the Nusach HaBracha, it was such a long pause, it was 2 hours, in between the bracha before and the bracha after, even though they made it so short, that it's much shorter than Pesukah de Zimra, so they left the same Nusach HaBracha.
Rabbeinu Tam could answer that it's a bracha Tzara, no? The first one is a bracha.
The first one, Hashabach, Bracha Tar Hashem Nosein HaTorah. No, the first one is also a bracha Arucha. First one is a bracha Arucha. Bracha Arucha means Pasachas Bibarach, Vachasem is Bibarach. So the bracha after qualifies, Bein LeRabbeinu Tam, Bein LeRashman, qualifies as should have been we mentioned the other day there's a machlekes harishanim, what changed in the days of Rabbi Shmuel, what is a major change or a minor change. So the Ran on the Rif there, Megillah, seems to assume that in the days of the Tanoim, the Oyla LaTorah first said the bracha Shabbacha Banu, the one at the end said Hashanasan Lanu, so basically everyone has to say a bracha before and after every aliyah. And in the days of the Tanoim, it was understood everyone's going to be in shul and everyone's going to be yotze with shemer kaina. So all of the seven people are going to get an aliyah, seven, eight. The mafter is not one of the seven, so you have eight aliyahs. So So they all had in mind when the oil la Torah first, when the Kohen got the first Ali, and he said Ashabach Abanu. So they all had in mind to be Yotze with that. Then when the last one got the Ali, he said Ashenasan Lana. So all of the other people had in mind Shemek Kohen. So they were all Yotze with his bracha. So that's how the Ran says. So the Ran says it wasn't a major change just in the days of Rav Shmuel, because some people would leave after they got an Aliyah. They wouldn't stay so long to hear the last oil la Torah say Ashenasan Lana. And some of the people who got aliyahs came in late in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, and they never heard the Kohen. So the Bracha HaShabach HaBanu. So that's when the days of Rabbi Shmuel, they decided no longer should we rely on Shemei Kohenah. Everyone should pay attention to the Kohen's Bracha HaShabach HaBanu and to the last oil of HaTorah HaShanasalan. Each one should say his own Bracha. No longer to rely on Shemei Kohenah. So basically they didn't really make such a major change. Because they're Nechnasim and Yotzim, the people may have not been there to have heard the first Bracha. They may leave. They won't hear the last Bracha. So we should require everyone should say his own bracha rather than rely on Shemekah. And that's how the Ran learned. And the Ritva doesn't learn like that. The Ritva says, no, it was a major change that was made by Rabbi Shmuel. In the days of the Tanoim, they treated the Kriyas HaTorah as one big unit from the beginning to the end. And Rabbi Shmuel said, that's why there's only need for the bracha before and bracha at the end. In the days of Rabbi Shmuel, they treated each and every Ali as a separate bracha. Yeah. Then Lamayin Afkamina said, that's the shadow that the Mishkan Asankiv raises. That the Mishnah says in Megillah, if you had a minion of Asura, and then you started Kriyas HaTorah, and some of the people left, you no longer have Asura. So if you started Kriyas HaTorah with 10 people, even though now you no longer have a minyan, you're allowed to finish. So the Mishkan Yankiv discusses the possibility that maybe that din no longer applies Bizman HaZeh. Maybe that din only apply Bizman HaMishneh, but the whole Kriyas HaTorah is treated as one big unit, according to the way the Ritva understood. But Bizman HaZeh, that each Aliyah is treated as a separate unit, and so maybe in Hischilu, if they started the Revi or Hamishi or Shishi, whatever Aliyah they started with a minyan, you can finish that Aliyah. But then you have to stop in the middle. You can't begin to give the next Aliyah. So that's the Mishkan and Yankiv raises such a possibility. That's according to the Tzad of the Ritva, not like the Ran. According to the Ran, it was always the case. You always required a bracha before and after each Aliyah, except that Bizman HaTanaim, they could rely on Shemei Kohenah. Everyone would pay attention to the other one's broch, and there would be Yotze. And then Rabbi Shmuel said, no longer rely on Shemei HaKohenah. But according to the Ritva, that there was a major change in the Takana, so that's the Sofek of the Mishkan HaSiyah. Maybe you should no longer have the right to say Hischilu Basora Gomrim.
The time of the Balei Tosfos, they still were saying that Tarim on the Half Torah.
On the Half Torah? Oh,
yes. Uh-huh. And that, the piece that you...
Then they said that. Then they said the targum.
Then they said the targum. Three
would stop and he would say his piece. Yitzir Pisgum. Okay. So Yitzir Pisgum was part of the targum hastis. He would say. And then he would say the Targum. So we're left just with Chinchud. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara is bringing a lot of rice. The Gemara had a discussion in the Involve of Menalef whether Teda Meitav is the rice or love the rice. What does it mean? If it's the rice, it means that it's part of Birchas HaMazon. I don't think it necessarily has to mean that it's the rice. It means it's part of Birchas HaMazon. Love the rice, it means that it's not at all part of Birchas HaMazon. Even with the Rabbanan, it's a separate bracha. So the Gemara is bringing rice that it's not part of Birchas HaMazon, love the rice. So one rice is Sharei Poyle Mokar Moisa. The second rice was that it's Posachas Bebaruch. And if not for the fact, Michlal de Bracha b'fnei atzmi, if not for the fact that it's a separate bracha, if it's part of the series of the brachas of the Birchas HaMazon, should not be pasachas b'bracha. So it's a right that it's a separate bracha. And then the third one mentions, V'amar Abnach Mayitzchak, Teda, I'll give you a third proof, I'll tell you, mate, the lab derais is not part of the benching, because Okra Moisa b'beisa oval. Who's Okra Moisa b'beisa oval? So Rashi says, Alibad Rabbi Akiva. Because there is a brisa that records an apparent machlokes in Tanakam and Rabbi Akiva. What do you say in the Beis Oval? So they all assume that you say a separate bracha, the Beis Oval. The shaila is, do you say the regular hatayva meitiv with this haisofa, or do you leave out hatayva meitiv? So the first time it says he's hatayva meitiv, sounds like you don't say anything different than beisof. You say regular. Rabbi Kiva says baruch dinam is the whole nusach. So the Gemara asks, what does Tanakama say? Say hatayva meitiv and dinam is love. I mean, there's no special bracha of beisof. Apparently everybody knew that. Of course there's a special bracha of beisof. Gemara says no. Ela ema the machlekes hatanaim is they all agree. That after Bnei Rachman Vishalayim Amen, you mentioned something about Nicham Avelim in the concluding bracha. Does that take over the whole bracha? You don't say Atayv Ameitim anymore? Or no. In addition to Atayv Ameitim, you add on the Nicham Avelim. So the Tanakhama says Atayv Ameitim, Af Atayv Ameitim, in addition to the dynamics. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you leave out Atayv Ameitim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that you leave out Atayv Ameitim, you don't say it at all. That must be a right. That Atayv Ameitiv is lav deraisa. It's not really part of the Birchas Hamazon, a separate bracha. Yeah. When do you say this bracha? Very few people say it. Dayno emes and so on. Kel emes, dayno emes, shefi betzelkel. The people don't say because the Sidurim didn't have it. That's why they don't say. The shaila in Shulchan Aruch, whether you only say this if you have a mezuman of 3, or if you have a mezuman of 10, or even if there's no mezuman. A noble sits and he benches all by himself. He doesn't even have a mezuman at all. So there are different opinions. Shaila, whether you say it on Shabbos, some say that it's if you hold it, you only say this special bracha, kelem is dayanem, shefer b'tzedek, etc. You only say it with hasara. So some machreinim suggest in Shulchan Aruch that it's called avelis b'ferhesi. You're not allowed to have avelis b'ferhesi on Shabbos. Very difficult. What kind of avelis b'ferhesi? You're saying a shevach takarish bochum. Then it's menachem avelim, called the racham mishpat tzidikadim. Very difficult. The Pashtus is that you don't even need a mezuman of 3. Pashtus says you should say it even on Shabbos. Pashtus, yeah. That's the nusach. So Tosfos repeats the whole nusach also. Tosfos mazutra ikla. Tosfos says kavase kaimolan v'achim v'achinon, and they just quote from the Gemara. Ibn Gechazet. I don't know what Tosfos added on. And that's what it says in the Gemara. Baruch atu Hashem elokeinu melech haolam kela teva ameitu kela mizdayin emeshefi b'tzedek, etc. The whole nusach. Then he says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear to Israel. Who yigda appear to Hazaz me aleinu me al ha'aval shebesarchenu l'chaim olashom. Then you say in the rest harachmans. You finish and you say harachmans. So they quote the Bahag. Questions is the right to say lokeach b'mishpat. Kelem is dainam shefet b'tzedek lokeach b'mishpat. He takes away people's lives b'mishpat. In other words, no one dies. Ein misa b'loichet. That's a machlekes in the Gemara. So there's one opinion, ein misa b'loichet. People only die if they sinned. If the person would be a tzaddik, he would live forever. So that's why we say, lekech b'mishpat, God judges the person, and he determines, the Ribbono Shel Olam determines, that he doesn't have the right to live anymore. So Tosfos says, the Sefer Halachos Gedolos leaves out that phrase, lekech b'mishpat, because the accepted opinion in Shabbos, on Daf Nun Hay, is, yesh misa b'loichet. And one opinion, and that's not the accepted opinion. So since we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take away a person's life even if he doesn't deserve to die as a punishment for his sins, so it's not right to say L'keach B'mishpat. So Tosfos says they disagree with the Bahag. That's not a valid reason to cross out the line that appears in the Gemara L'keach B'mishpat. Why not? Because B'mishpat doesn't necessarily mean Mishpat means a punishment, a judgment that the person is guilty of a crime and he deserves a death penalty. L'keach b'mishpat means HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges his world with a cheshbon. How do we say the bracha for the cemetery? Asher yotzer eschem adin, mazon eschem adin, and kilkal eschem adin, v'deah mispakulchem badin. So what do you mean, badin? What's it? Badin means b'midas adin? Not necessarily. Badin means with a cheshbon. Like we say on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Yom Adin. Kel Arach Din B'Yom Din. Bochen Levav is B'Yom Din. What Yom Kippur is a day of Din. Yom Kippur is a day of Chesed and Rachmim, forgiveness. Rosh Hashanah is a little bit more Din, more strict than Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is not a day of Din. So why do we refer to Yom Kippur as a Yom Adin? So Yom Adin means a day of Cheshbonos. The Ribbono Shel Olam has his Cheshbonos, the way he calculates who should live and not. But it's not always a strict judgment, what we would call Midas Adin. A lot of times it's midas aches, and see here also the nusach habracha that you say when you visit the cemetery, asher yotzer eschem adin, etc. is on eschem adin, but din means with a cheshbon. The same over here, Tosfos says, Lokech the mishpat doesn't necessarily mean the Rabban Shalom made a mishpat, the judgment, and he found the person guilty of a crime, and the death penalty was incurred, and the Rabban Shalom caused them to die. No, sometimes tzaddikim die, not because they deserve to die. Yesh misa b'lo yavan. The Rabban Shalom wants everyone to die. After the chet of the Eitz Hadas, the Rabban Shalom said, Yom achoch men and most Thomas, that the human beings will all die after the chet of the Eitz Hadas. So Tosis is not so excited about the Bahag's Hagor. You don't have to cross it out.
You say that bracha for driving by a cemetery, or only when you actually go in a cemetery?
You don't have to go in. Kohanim never go in. No, you say the bracha when you pass by a cemetery. But only if you pass by every day, so you don't say the bracha. Only once every... if you haven't been to the cemetery in 30 days. Or if you go to a different cemetery, we assume.
So you see it, and then you can even make it when you continue through, you know, in car or something?
Yeah. You only say it if you haven't been in the cemetery in 30 days, or if they buried a new mace, so it's like a new cemetery. Okay, then the Gemara has a bit of a discussion about how the Persians. The Reish Galusa tells the Rabbi, I have big respect for you, but the Persians have a nicer, fancy style of eating meals, and he tells the way they have Haseba, they would lean on the beds and enjoy the meal. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, we have a Bryce that also has something to say. Rav Sheshes tells the Dresh Kalusa, I have a Tosefta that has Ketzat Seder Haseba about leaning on the beds. Okay. So then part of the Tosefta says, apparently the Persians also used to wash Maim Rishonim and Maim Achreinim. They didn't say a bracha when they wash Hajjam Tazutzvanu, but they wash Maim Rishonim for hygienic purposes, that the hands should be clean before they touch the food. And they would wash Maim Achreinim. I don't know if they would recite any Berachas HaMazon after the meal, but they wash Mayim Achreinim to have clean hands at the end. So we wash Mayim Rishonim. So the Shah says, who washes first? So the Tosefta says, Mayim Rishonim Aschilim En Agorl, the more important person, the most Bechabedika person. So, but the Gemara raised the question before, if Maschilim En Agorl, the most important, or the biggest Hamachachim, wherever it happens to be, the most important person, he's the one who should wash first. So if one person is going to say Hamoitzi, if it's a Jewish group, one person is going to say Hamoitzi, so you're being matriach the gadol that he should wait longer. He should sit there and twiddle his thumbs and not say anything. So he has to wait longer in order to say Hamoitzi. So Rashi adds on, no, Maim Rishonim Maschilim Min HaGadol. So Rashi adds on, and he says Hamoitzi right away. He doesn't have to wait for everybody else. Yeah, if the practice is going to be the let's say it's Friday night and everybody's going to wait to one person and say Hamoitzi, so then the Rosh writes that his whenever he would wash, he was the biggest Talmid Chacham in his household, I guess. His wife didn't know how to learn as well as he, and his children didn't learn as well as he did while he was alive. Maybe after he passed away, maybe they surpassed his level of learning. But he was the most learned person in his home, so he would choose to wash last. Because the more bekavadik for Dorim Gadol is that he shouldn't have to wait so long. Here, Rashi explains, based on the Gemara before, Maschilim and Agadol, and they give the Gadol right away. He says Hamoitz, and the other people will sell their own, say their own Hamoitz. And Maim Achreinim, so if you have 100 people, so you don't have the Gadol wash first, and then he should sit and twiddle his thumbs, not do anything. So you have first 95 people wash first. When you come to the last 5 people, then whomever you're going to be mechabit to recite the benching, he should be the first one to wash from the last 5. So usually you'll be mechabit the gadol to recite Berachas HaMazon. The Gemara said before, even if he comes at the end of the meal, gadol mevarach, even if he comes at the end of the meal. If you decided to give to a katan, the Gemara tells a story that Rab Chiya and Rab were students of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. They were eating with Rabbi Yudah Nasi, so Rabbi Yudah Nasi wanted Rab to bench mezuzah. So he told Rab, wash my machrein. So Rab is all nervous. Why did he ask you to wash my machrein? So Rab Chiya whispered in his ear, don't worry. It means he's mechabed you that you should bench mezumin. So you should wash my machrein first. Whoever washes my machrein first from the last 5, he's mezumin lebrocha. It means if they're mechabed him to wash first among the last 5, it means that he's the one who's going to bench mezumin. Here the Gemara says there is kibud b'mayim. By the Maim Rishonim, the kibud is the one who washes last, if you're going to have to wait for everybody else. And if you don't have to wait for everybody else, the one who washes first. Here the Gemara is going to say there's no kibud when you're crossing over a bridge, the last line, the gesher. What, that's what you mean. When you cross a bridge that's over a river. What? That, what about your Yadayim Mezuhamas? That one?
That's the next line, next page. But no, but that's talking about that, like, he's not one of the last five, he's saying, go first.
Uh-huh. By the last five, yeah, by the last five, we're supposed to be Mechaber, whoever's going to bench Mezuhamas, we're supposed to have him wash first among the last five. Then the Gemara has a discussion. If a Talmid Chacham and a non-Talmid Chacham or a lesser Talmid Chacham are both traveling on the same highway, is there a din of kavod that the lesser Talmid Chacham or the non-Talmid Chacham should not go in front of the Talmid Chacham? So the Gemara says, no, em mechabdim bedrachim v'lo big shor. Kol hakodim zocha. It's not a kibud. The only time you're mechabed is if you're walking into a door that either has a mezuzah, pesach haroi lo mezuzah. Even if it's a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, the Gemara assumes that a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash neither has a mezuzah. That's the assumption over here, 10 lines from the top. Elamiyata, Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash, the leis boom mezuzah, achanami de mechabnin, that's really machlekes hatanoim in Yuma. If you have on the side, the Gemara tells you to look in Yuma, daf yud aleph. In the first parak in Yuma, there is a bit of a discussion of Hilchas mezuzah. Most of the dini mezuzah are in parak HaKoimetz Rabbah. In Menachos, the third parak, because the Mishnah talks about what's ma'akev. When you bring a mincha, is the shemen ma'akev, is the blila ma'akev, how much of the karbonos ha'ma'akev. So then the Mishnah talks about in general, what's ma'akev, what? If you have a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, it has to have seven kanim, so the seven kanim ha'ma'akev zezeh. It gives different things, what's ma'akev zezeh. If you didn't bring the Tamash HaShachi, you can still bring the Tamash HaBein HaBayim. The two tmidim are not ma'akev zezeh. So then it says there, a mezuzah, afilu ksav achas, afilu ksav echad me'akim. Even if you're missing one letter, it'll be possible. And the Mishnah uses a loshon, doesn't say afilu oisach, afilu ksav echad. So the Gemara says what it means is even kutzah shel yud. Even if the yud is just missing one little shmitchik, one little part of it, so the whole mezuzah will be possible. So most of the dinim mezuzah appear there in the middle of Menachos, in the third paragraph of Menachos, after that Mishnah. Even though the Mishnah only said one line about Hilchas mezuzah. How come you don't have Hilchas Mezuzah more detailed in the Mishnayis? How come it's only one line in the Mishnah Menachos? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, everybody had a mezuzah. More or less, everybody knew what a Hilchas Mezuzah. What is it to know? Okay, once you get into Yerevideya, there's a lot to know. But basically, everybody knows. You put a mezuzah on the door on the right side, yeah, over there, somewhere over there. That's what he writes. The Tanoim didn't write all the dinim of tzitzis and tefillin. Everybody put on tefillin. Everybody wore a talis. So what's the big deal? So he didn't. That's why the Mishnahs didn't write. It really does make sense that you should have. We don't have a maseches for Chanukah. There isn't so much to make a whole mesichta out of Hilchas Chanukah. There's hardly anything there. And Purim also, there really isn't enough to make a whole mesichta. But they made a whole mesichta Megillah. They padded it with Hilchas Kriyas Atar and Dini Beis HaKnesses and Ein Beins. They blew it out of proportion. They took something that should have been two Mishnahs. And they made all Masechta, so the Yishalmi asks that. Why did they pad the Masechta to make a unnecessarily? Could have stuck Hilchas Megillah in the Mishnah, he's here and there, like Dinei Chanukah. Chanukah is mentioned over here and over there. And the other place, yeah, everybody knows about Chanukah. Everybody knows about Purim also. Yishalmi says no, because the Pasuk says, Me'a Purim Hela Layavra Matei Chayuhud, Mizichim Layosef Mizarim. The holiday of Purim, the story of Purim will never be forgotten. So the rabbis wanted to make it that it should not be forgotten. So they made a separate mesichta in the Torah Shemal Peh, because we know the Torah Shemal Peh will never be forgotten. So that's why they padded all the Hilchas Purim. They put in all the things that are related, Hilchas Beis HaKnesses and Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, and all the Ein Beins, and they made a mesichta out of nothing, out of thin air. There's hardly anything there. They blew it out of proportion, special reason, in order that the story of Purim should not be forgotten. The story of Chanukah will not be forgotten either. But there is no such pasuk that says there is no pasuk that says v'zichem lo yosef nizar. So they didn't feel compelled to make a mesichta Chanukah. Anyway, so the Gemara talks. So there in Yuma in the first parak, what's the discussion there in Yuma? The first Mishnah in Yuma says that 7 days before Yom Kippur, shivas yamim kodim yom kippurim, mafrishin kain gadol mibeso lelishkas palhedrin. He has to. Instead of living at home, he has to live in a dormitory, has to live in a special room in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. So the Gemara has a discussion the Lishka's Palhedrin, which he paid for, Kohen Gadol pays for on his own, the Beis HaMikdash does need that room. So it's not paid for by the Klal Yisrael's money. The Kohen Gadol paid for it. Privately owned, so does it need a mezuzah or not? The guy's going to live there for 7 days a year. You need a mezuzah for a house that you're going to live in 7 days. So the Gemara starts a whole discussion of Hilchas Mezuzah. Most of the dinim of mezuzah are in Menachas, in the third parak HaKoyimitz Rabbah. And some of the dinim are there in Yuma. So the Gemara in Yuma has a machlekes satanaim on Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses. You only chayv a mezuzah, let's say a person has a house with 100 rooms, and he doesn't use 80 of the rooms, he only uses 20. So he only needs a mezuzah on 20 rooms. He doesn't need on the 80 rooms that he doesn't use. Because mezuzah chayvus hador. If you don't have a dira in the room, so you don't need a mezuzah. So the shayla is, what if you have a dira with ishtamshes, but it's a ishtamshes shal kodesh? It's a beis haknesses or a beis hamedrash. Any other public office, let's say you have a town hall in Yerushalayim. Let's say you have the police station. So you have anything that belongs to the government, a building for concerts and for whatever, a school building or something. So every building that belongs to the public needs mezuzahs on all the doors. But the shad is a beis hamedrash and the beis haknesses belongs to the tzibah, but it's a hishtamsha shal kodesh. So maybe that's not called chayves hador. So that's a machlekes satanayim. So the pashtus is that we paskin like this gemara, that neither is chayve mezuzah. In Shulchan Aruch Yeridei, they quote that the Maharam Rutenberg had a dream. He used to learn in the Beis Medrash that had no mezuzah. Because that's what it says in Din, that we pass in Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaKnesses, doesn't need a mezuzah. So he had a dream that they kept on asking him in the dream. The Malach kept on asking, why do you learn in the Beis Medrash that doesn't have a mezuzah? He had a recurring dream. Till he finally put up a mezuzah on the Beis HaMedrash without a bracha. So then the Malach came back to him in a dream and he gave him a Yashikoyach. Good for you. You did the right thing. You put up a mezuzah on the Beis HaMedrash. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the minig is that although a Beis HaKnesses, you don't put a mezuzah, but if it's a Beis HaMedrash, that the Iker and a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash, you learn and you daven in both. But one of the main purpose of a Beis HaKnesses is to daven, and you also learn there. And a Beis HaMedrash, the main purpose is to learn, and you also daven there. So if it's a Beis HaMedrash, where the main purpose is for learning, so then the din says that Talmid HaChachamim are permitted to eat in the middle of their learning. Usually it's a violation of Kavod Beis HaKnesses, Kavod Beis HaMedrash, to eat in the Beis HaMedrash. I want to eat a sandwich somewhere. I brought my sandwich with me, I'm out of town, I want to eat. So I'll go into the local shul, and I'll wash and I'll eat in the shul. I'll go into yeshiva, I'll wash and I'll eat. So you're not allowed to? It's a violation of Kavod Beis HaKnesses, Kavod Beis HaMedrash. But if he's a Talmid HaChachamim who's learning in the Beis HaMedrash, you're going to tell him, if he wants to eat lunch, he has to go across the street and eat in the cafeteria. So till he gets across the street, till he stands on line, till he comes back, everything is going to take time. If he would take a sandwich with him in the morning to the Beis HaMedrash, he would wash right outside, he would eat in the Beis HaMedrash, he would save himself 10 more minutes, that he's going to learn more than 10 minutes. He'll be learning more. So since the Beis HaMedrash is miyuchad for Talmid HaChachamim to sit and learn, that's the purpose, and this fellow's the Talmud Chacham is learning in this Beis HaMedrash, his learning will be enhanced if he's going to eat, if we'll permit him to eat in the Beis HaMedrash. That's a special kula. Really, a Beis HaMedrash, the Gemara has a machlekes in the Yed LeMegillah, machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shulam Alevi, which has the higher level of Kedusha, the Beis HaKnesses, or the Beis HaMedrash. And the Gemara assumes over there that we pass on like Rabbi Shulam and Levi, who says that the Beis HaMedrash has the higher level of Kedusha. The Gemara has the machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shulam Alevi of Malam HaKodesh Velo Maridin. The original din of Malam HaKodesh Lamarim means I have an item that was used for one level of Kedusha, I want to use it for a lower level of Kedusha. So that's a violation of Maridin. And if you want to use it for something that's a higher level of Kedusha, that's permissible. Let's say I have a cloth that I always use to wrap up the tefillin. And now I want to take apart that tefillin zeklin, I want to use that cloth as part of the mental of a Sefer Torah. So the Tashmishei Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha than the Tefillin. So to convert Tefillin into a Sefer Torah, that would be okay. You can't make Tefillin into a Sefer Torah. But you can make the Tefillin Zekel, it can be converted into a mental of a Sefer Torah. But the reverse, to take the mental of a Sefer Torah, which has a higher level of Kedusha, it's a Tashmishei Kedusha, but it has a higher level than the Tashmishei Kedusha of the kiss of the tefillin, so that would be a violation of Maridin. To take something from a Sefer Torah and use it for tefillin, that would be a violation of Maridin. So there in the end of Megillah, the Gemara has a machlekes, Rabbi Yechanan and Mishum, Rabbi Yechanan says, Beis HaKnesses has a higher level of Kedusha than Beis HaMedrash. So to convert a Beis HaMedesh to a Beis HaKnesses would be permissible, and the reverse, to convert a Beis HaKnesses to a Beis HaMedesh would be a violation of Marid. And we don't pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Usually we pass like Rabbi Yechanan against Rav, against Shmuel, against Reish Lakish. Whenever he disagrees with one of the Amoraim of his generation, we pass like Rabbi Yechanan, except for Rabbi Shulba Levi. We pass like Rabbi Shulba Levi against Rabbi Yechanan. That's what Tosis points out, based on that Gemara, the end of Megillah. So the Gemara says that we pass, and you're not permitted to convert a Beis HaMedesh into a Beis HaKnesses. That would be a violation of Maridin. But the reverse would be permissible, to convert a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedesh. That would be okay. So really, the Beis HaMedesh, we paskin, has a higher level of Kedusha than Beis HaKnesses. So the Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to eat a sandwich. Even if he's in Talmud Chacham, a plan to sit and learn all day in Beis HaKnesses, not allowed to eat a sandwich. So it should have been a Kavach Hermit that you're not allowed to eat a sandwich in the Beis HaMedesh. So the Gemara says, no, this is an exception to the rule. Since the Ikar purpose of the Beis HaMedesh is for learning, the Ikar purpose of the Beis HaKnesses is for davening. But since the Ikar purpose of the Beis HaMedesh is for learning, so it brings with it more chumras, but also it brings this one kula. That's the one kula. The Talmid HaChacham who are sitting and learning their bikviyas are permitted to have a sandwich there. The Gemara in the Sugi and Shabbos uses this phrase Malam HaKadosh V'lo Marin as the rationale for the Beis Hillel's version by the Mahadran and the Mahadran. So Beis Shammai said the first night you light 8, the second night you light 7, and you go down. Where do you have such a parallel that if you're performing the mitzvah for a few days in a row, so the first day you have more of the mitzvah, and if you keep on changing, you go down. So they say it's based on Pori HaChag. And the first day of Sukkot is you bring more karbanos, and every following day you bring one carbon less. And the Silva say, no, Pori HaChag, we don't know why, but the principle should really be Malam HaKadosh V'lo Marid. So that's an application. That's, we follow Beis Hillel. It's a question, is that really the reason why? Because Malam HaKadosh V'lo Marid? Maybe it's because Kenegi Yamim Hayotzim. We're not sure exactly, but that's not. Beis Shammai also submit to the principle. They also subscribe to the principle of Malam HaKadosh V'lo Marid. But they hold, it doesn't apply over here. Malam HaKadosh V'lo Marid means if you have something, you have a Beis HaMedrash, you want to convert it into a Beis HaKnesses, that's Marid. You want to make a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedrash, that's Malam HaKadosh. The same object, I want to convert it to use it for something else. I have a mezuzah, and I want to switch and convert the mezuzah to use it as parshios in the tefillin. So that'll be Malam HaKadosh. But if I have tefillin, I want an old pair of tefillin, and the batim are ruins. I want to use the parshios to serve as a mezuzah. That's called Marid, because the mezuzah has a lower level of Kedusha than the Sefer Torah. Yeah. What's the machlek? Is there Rabbi Yechanan and Mishul Malevi? Which has the higher level of Kedusha, Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedesh? Very unclear. The Pashtus is that the Machlekes says that which mitzvah is greater, the mitzvah of davening and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That the Ikir Kedusha, the Beis HaKnesses, is it's Amid the mitzvah of davening. And the Ikir Hishtamsha, so the Beis HaMedesh, is that it's Amid for learning. So that's what they're arguing about, whether davening is on a higher level than learning, or learning is on a higher level of davening. Then we pass on like Rabbi Shulman Levi, that the learning is on a higher level than davening. Maybe that's the Machlekes. There is a Tosfos in the middle of Nazir, in the beginning of Nazir. But Tosfos assumes that both the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash, the Kedusha emanates not from the davening, the Kedusha emanates from the learning. They're not talking about the Machlekes of Rabbi Yechanan and Mishum HaLevi. They just make a statement in connection with the Agadita there, on Daf Chodesh or so in Nazir. So Tosfos says the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses flows from the fact that every Beis HaKnesses has a Sefer Torah in it. Flows from the Torah Shebichzav. And the Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash stems from the fact that they're learning Torah Shebalpeh. They probably have a Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMedrash also, but the main purpose of the Beis HaMedrash is to learn Torah Shebalpeh. Except it's according to Tosfos, maybe that's the Machlokes of Rabbi Yechanan Mishum HaLevi. Which level of Torah is on a higher level? Whether the Torah Shebichzav or the Torah Shebalpeh? I don't know. Anyway, we paskin, that's in the Gemara. Whatever the Hezbollah is, we paskin that a Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses. Here, the Shaila is about mezuzah. So the Maram Rutmerg had a dream. He was sitting and learning on a Beis HaMedrash that didn't have a mezuzah. So the Malach kept on bothering him in a dream till he put up the mezuzah, and then he gave me Yashika. But in a Beis HaKnesses, the meaning is you don't put a mezuzah. You don't put a mezuzah on. If you have a building that has a Beis HaKnesses in it, then it has a social hall where they eat shalashudas, so they have weddings there. So So that has a hishtam shesholcho. That's for eating. So that part, let's say the front door, where you walk into the vestibule of the shul, from the vestibule, you can either walk into the sanctuary of the shul, or you can go downstairs and walk into the place where you're going to eat. Or they have a gym downstairs where the kids play basketball or whatever. So those rooms certainly need a mezuzah. So the vestibule that leads into the other rooms also needs a mezuzah. Even if this is a Pesach to a room that I use, it's twice removed. Not only the Pesach that's immediately attached to that room, even the Pesach that's leads to the Pesach that's going to lead to the room. There's also a chayv in mezuzah. So the Ma'ase said, we only put this Maram Brukman, we only put a mezuzah on a Beis HaMedrash, not on a Beis HaKnesses. There is no such sheet in the Gemara. One Tana holds in the Brice is there in Yuma, Daf Yirah. One Tana holds the both potter from mezuzah, that's what our Gemara says. One Tana holds the both chayv in mezuzah. So the compromise that we follow is a Peladiki compromise because of the dream of the Maharam Rukman. That's problematic. Why didn't the Shach say Divrech Aloimus Lamalam Aloim Maridim? See, the Shach has such a tiny against another Psak in Shulchan Aruch that the Maharav Ritmer had a few dreams. He was always dreaming and learning. So he had a dream that the Malach told him there is a Gemara at the end of Bob Metzia that Tosfos quotes a lot. There are three dinim and dinim ominous. So Nezikin, the Gemara says, even if you have kesef, you can pay with shavu kesef. You can pay metaltalim, or if you're paying with karka, you can pay with idis. If you made a halvoa, if you borrowed money, so then you can't pay lechatchila with shavu kesef. Lechatchila, the din is zuzi yoyiv zuzi shokol. Since he borrowed money in the first place, so he's mechuyav to give back money now. If he doesn't have any money, then the halacha says, "Bimar Rashvasa Kari Efra." If he doesn't have any money, then he'll pay Shavu Kesef, is also Kikesef. And if it's a case of Schiris Poilim, I owe someone wages because they did work for me, so the halacha requires I must pay him in cash, and even if I don't have cash available. So I say, well, I have a house full of swarm furniture, take whatever you want. I owe you $2,000, I take $2,000 worth of furniture, or swarm or whatever I have. So the employee has the right to say, no, I don't want $2,000 worth of furniture. You go sell the furniture and you give me cash. I worked for you and you obligated yourself to pay me $2,000. You have to pay dafki cash. So that's what Tosfos quotes in Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, and Exubas. They quote this, Rabbein Atam. Rogal Rabbein Atam lema gimel dinim hei. Based on Gemara, so he just collected all the Gemara. So that third din, that by Schiris Poilim, you can't pay Shavu Kesef unless the Poil agrees. You have to dafki pay Kesef. So the Maram Ritmerg had a dream that the reason why you cannot pay Shavu Kesef is because the Pasuk says, Elovu Noseas Nafsho, that the worker put in a whole day's work and is entitled to get his salary in cash, that it should be easy for him to buy food. So the Maram Ritmerg had a dream. What happens if he worked in a grocery store? The fellow worked in a grocery store and the owner of the store owes him $1,000. So he tells the employee, take $1,000 worth of food. Take home $1,000 worth. He worked in a deli. So he says, take home $1,000 worth of, you have a freezer at home. Take home salamis and pickles and bread and put it on the freezer. Take home $1,000 worth of food. So the Maharam Brutberg had a dream that that's okay. That's acceptable. Why? Because the whole reason why the Torah wants that you should give Davki Kish, that it should be easier for him to get food. So he says, here when you're giving him food, so there's no problem. So the Shach is unhappy with that dream. He says, why don't we say Divrech Aloim is Lamala V'Lamari? Rather, that dream is not so bad. This dream is the Chapela. The dream about distinguishing between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash is the Loikeman in Yuma there. And Daf Yirav, there's no Tana who splits between the two. We follow this compromise of the Malach in the dream. So that's a Pela. The Shach should have asked over here, Divrech Aloim is Lamala V'Lamari. Anyway, so the Gemara says over here that you don't put a mezuzah in the days of the Gemara, before the dream of the Marmor, you wouldn't put a mezuzah not on a Beis HaMedrash, not on a Beis HaKnesses, both not, but when the two people walking in, so you have to be mechaber the Talmid Chacham to walk first. We just said, ein mechaber me'ala b'pesach sheyesh bo mezuzah, Gemara says, and there's no mezuzah not on the Beis HaKnesses, not on the Beis HaMedrash. So the Gemara says, no, it's not that it has to be a pesach sheyesh bo mezuzah. A Pesach Haroi L'Mezuzah. A Pesach that you're entering into a building, a Pesach Haroi L'Mezuzah, then you have to be mechaber the other person. But when traveling on the highways or over a bridge, you don't have to be mechaber. So the bottom Tosfos adds on from a Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Nun Aleph, the Gemara says there that you're supposed to be mechaber even traveling on the highway. They says no, that's a different story. They both set out together. The Talmud Chacham with the lesser Talmud Chacham and the Talmud Chacham with the Balabas, they both set out together on the trip. They're going together. So then the non-Talmud Chacham is going to go ahead of the Talmud Chacham. That's a violation of Kavarat Torah. But if they didn't, our Gemara is talking, they didn't set out together. The Talmud Chacham going on his own, and the other person, Balabas, is going on his own. And then they happen to bump into each other on the highway. So the Balabas says good morning to the rabbi, and he goes right there. He doesn't have to let the rabbi go first. He didn't l'chatchila set out to travel with him. That's how Tesis translates, question of translation. On the top line, Amem Zayinam and Aleph in the Gemara, how does it say? Rovin v'abai haviko azli be'urcho. So Pashab Shat is, they went out on the highway together. So Tesis says, no, if they would go out on the highway together, then the Gemara Shabbos indicates that the lesser Talmud Chacham has to be mechaber the more Talmud Chacham, if they're going together. Tesis claims, Rovin v'abai haviko azli, they happen, each of them happened to be, coincidentally, traveling on the same highway, simultaneously, each one was going somewhere else. They even going to the same place. They didn't start out machatchila. They're not going together. So that's why they didn't. That's why the din that covers this case is em mechabdim v'lo bidrachim v'lo bikshorim. Then the Gemara has a din by the tiny letter base, about 10 lines from the top of Mem Zayinam and Aleph. Ein hamesubim rashem lechol klum ashiyitam habotzeya. Let's say on Shabbos, Friday night, I say I'm Moitzei Lech Meraz, I have a lot of guests, I give everybody challah. So the simple translation of the words of the Gemara is, no one is allowed to eat their challah, not permitted to eat, and the Gemara corrects it, the correct version should be litum. And I'm assuming Hashem litum. It's the same thing, whether you say litum alecha, the same thing. Chai v'anam lama v'loshan rabba, so you should say exactly the way you heard it from me, Rabbi. Okay. So, enam asubim Hashem litum, they're not allowed to taste the challah that I give until... A lot of times it takes a long time. Let's say you have a lot of guests, you're cutting challah, and you pass around the challah. So the guests are going to want to eat. They're not going to think they're going to start eating the challah before the botzeya, before the person who said amaitzi eats the challah. So the Gemara says, then sounds from the Gemara that they're not permitted to. So here Taisus is bothered with Akasha. L'chore, if the Gemara has a din by hamaitzi, so the same din should apply to eating and drinking. Should be the same thing. Why should you distinguish? So they ask Akasha, the Gemara Mesachim tells the story that one of the Rabbanah visited a community, and then on Shabbos morning they said, we want to be Mechabed you to recite Kiddush HaRabbah, to be Moitzi the whole Tzibur. So he didn't know what Kiddush HaRabbah was. He didn't know what the word meant. So he figured he'll play it by ear. So he figured he'll say Baruch Priya Gofen first, and then if there's whatever he's supposed to say after that, so they'll help him. So they'll tell him what it is. So he said Baruch Priya Gofen, and then he was waiting to see what comes next. And he sees an old man, Gochin Taptesis on Mem Zayinam and Aleph. An old man, Gochin, leans over the Shasi, a Sova. Who Sova leans over, starts drinking his wine. So the Amora understood that it's called Kiddush HaRabbah. That's all you say is Baruch Priya Gofen. Why do you call it Kiddush HaRabbah, the long Kiddush? So the Rashbam over there says that it's a Loshin Saginor. It really means the short Kiddush. Kiddush HaRabbah really means the short Kiddush. Other Rishonim write differently. If I'm not mistaken, in the Kafta Beferach, he writes like this. It's called Kiddush HaRabbah because you always say Baruch Priya Gofen. That bracha you always say. Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov and on Rosh Hashanah. Since you always start with Baruch Priya Gofen, every Kiddush, that's called Kiddush HaRabbah. It doesn't mean the long Kiddush, it means the important Kiddush. That's what the Kafta Beferach, how does it come in the Kafta Beferach? It's talking, why is it called Truma Gedolah? Truma Gedolo. How big is it? Chitachas Peteres Kalakri. So why is the Truma Gedolo? So he says, no, it's Truma Gedolo because it always comes first. Something like that. Just like we say Kiddush HaRabbah because the Baruch Priya Gofen always comes first. So he doesn't say like the Rashbam that it's a Loshen Saginor. So he seems to understand differently Kiddush HaRabbah. The important Kiddush. The important, the more important Baruch in the Kiddush is the Baruch Priya Gofen because you always say Baruch Priya Gofen. So Tosfos is bothered with this kash. How come here the Gemara says that you're not allowed to eat the challah? If I said I'm Moitzi, so the other people are not allowed to eat the challah before I eat. So why shouldn't the same rule apply regarding drinking the wine from the Kiddush? I said Baruch Priya Gofen and Kiddush, and everyone's going to drink. So they're not supposed to drink before I drink. That's the kasha that Tosfos has. So basically, there are two shittas over here in the Rishayin, the Tosis and the Ritva. There are two shittas. What's the nature of the din? So some Rishayim hold that it's an inyan of Derech Eretz, and other Rishayim say it's not Derech Eretz, it's Al Pi Halacha. I cannot say a Birchas Hanenin for somebody else. You can only be Yotze with my Birchas Hanenin if I'm also being Yotze. A Birchas HaMitzvah I can say for someone else, Kol Yisrael HaRei Mitzvah I possess. Even Yotze is also Moitze. Even if I was Yotze already, I can say for you, even though I'm not being Yotze the Mitzvah now. But in Birchas Hanenin, I could only be Moitze the others if I myself am eating. So let's say, I'll say HaMoitze Lechem in Horetz, and everybody will start eating, and I'll change my mind. I'll decide I'm not going to eat. So if I'm not going to eat any bread, it's going to turn out that my bracha was a bracha about Tola. I have no right to say I'm Moitze only for them. I can only say I'm Moitze if I myself I'm going to eat. So until I eat, until I actually eat, how do the other people know that my bracha is going to be a bona fide bracha? They can't, I'll be din. They can't eat. Maybe my bracha is not going to be a valid bracha. So Einar Mesimra Hashem Litum Klum Achiyitum Habotzeya. After he starts eating, so then his bracha, his Moitze takes effect. So then, migu that it takes effect to him, it can be made to the others based on Shemei Kaina. Or based on, we said, Shemei Kaina doesn't apply, the Birchas Hanenin, so based on the whole Chabura is saying a bracha together. But he's only considered a bracha of the Chabura if he's also part of the Chabura. So he's also going to eat, because money doesn't eat now. So we say like that, then Tosfos in Pesachim says, this only applies to Hamoitzi. But the Kiddush, the din is that you do apply Yotze Moitze. I can, even if I was ready Yotze Kiddush, I can say Kiddush a second time on behalf of those who weren't yet Yotze. Kiddush, you say Yotze Moitze. That's the Gemara, the last piece of Gemara in the third parak in Rosh Hashanah. Then the Gemara says there, not only does this apply to the Kiddush part of the Kiddush, even to the Bar Piyagofen also, I can say Bar Piyagofen and Kiddush for you, even though I'm not going to drink any wine at all. So that Gemara in Arvei Pesachim is talking about Kiddush. It was Kiddush on Shabbos morning, so the Amora who visited didn't know what you're supposed to say. So they told him that you say Kiddush Rabba. So he didn't know what it meant, so first he said Bar Piyagofen, and he was waiting. What else will he ask him to say? Yeah, what else will he ask him to say? Sounds like he never heard of saying anything else. Sounds from the Gemara that if they'll tell him, he say, we have a minute that we say a bracha about an additional bracha on Shabbos, so he was prepared to say the bracha, even though he never said that bracha in his whole life. So if the Gemara is seeing that if the minhag hamakom is that they say a bracha, you say the bracha also, even though that bracha doesn't exist. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. Let's say someone's davening for an almid in the shul, and they in this shul they say Baruch Hashem Le'olam. He's from Eretz Yisrael. He never says Baruch Hashem Le'olam, but he says in this shul everybody says that's the official nusach. He says Baruch Hashem Le'olam. So he says that you say Baruch Hashem Le'olam. If that's the minhag hamakom, you say Baharaya from this Gemara. The Birkei Yosef brings this raya also. Baharaya from this Gemara that this amira was prepared to say Bar Piyagof and then whatever the next bracha is going to be. And then it turned out that there is no next bracha. He saw the sova leaning over Gochen Vishasi, the old man leaned over and started to drink the wine. So he, so the Amora understood that that's the whole kiddush, just the Bar Piyagof. But you see, he was prepared to recite whatever additional bracha that would be recited.
Could be the time when he was waiting to see what would happen until he finally noticed someone was sitting down to drink until he actually sat down and drank,
pausing
a hefsek, and he was trying to figure out what to do.
Why isn't the pausing a hefsek? He thought he was pausing letzarech habracha. He thought he was going to say another bracha. He was just trying to figure out what the additional bracha is going to be. Then it came out, that was it. He already said. So that's what the Tosfos Pesachim writes. This din, Einam Esimra Hashem, Litam Achiyitam Avroch, is a real din. It's not just a midas lacher, it's halacha. Why is halacha? You cannot be Moitzi someone else with a Birchas Hanenin if you already were Yotze. Only if you're being Yotze now. So before I eat the food, I'm not being Yotze. So you have to wait al pidin till I have a bite of food. Then my bracha took effect. Because when I didn't have a bite of food, my bracha didn't take effect yet. So you can't begin to eat. The bracha, how can the bracha relate to you if it didn't relate to me yet? So if that's the reason why, then it doesn't apply to Kiddush, because the Gemara says not only can you say Yotze Moitze and the Kiddush, you need to say Yotze Moitze and the Bar Piyagofen of the Kiddush. That's what Tosfos writes in Pesach. Then the Ritva there in Pesachim has a taina against Tosfos, Rabbi Kiveger. Al Shulchan Aruch refers to this Ritva. The Mechaber writes this din from Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak, that not only do you say Yotze Moitze on the Kiddush, you can even say Yotze Moitze and the Bar Piyagofen of the Kiddush. So the Mechaber writes that it applies both, the Mechaber, the Ramah, maybe it's a Ramah. So the Ramah quotes this Tosfos in Arbei Pesachim, that this is true not only on Friday night, where the Bar Pi Hagafen comes in conjunction with the Kiddush, a bracha, it's even true on Shabbos morning, where the Bar Pi Hagafen stands alone. That's the whole Kiddush. All you say is Bar Pi Hagafen. So Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the page refers you to the Ritvan Pesachim, who disagrees. He thinks that that's not true. He says, when do you say you can be mighty someone else of the Bar Pi Hagafen of Kiddush? That's on Friday night when the Bar Pi Hagafen comes in conjunction with the Kiddush. You say it together with the Kiddush. So migu that you say Yotza Moitzi on the Kiddush, you can say Yotza Moitzi on the Bar Pi Hagafen. But Shabbos morning, the whole Kiddush only consists of Bar Pi Hagafen. The whole thing is only a Birchas Hanen. So how can you say Yotza Moitzi on a Birchas Hanen? But the Tosfos there, Pesachim gives that as an answer. The Gemara, the Din and the Gemara here. Ein Anusim Rashem Litam Klum. Al Sheitam Am Haboitzeya. That's because you don't say Yotza Moitzi. I can't be Moitzi the other was of the Birchas Hanen unless I'm eating. So until I begin to eat the food, my Birchas Hanen wasn't chal yet, it didn't take effect. After I start to taste the food, my Birchas Hanen was chal, so then you can begin to eat. But by Kiddush, the historian Pesachim Daf Kuvah, we're talking about Kiddush on Shabbos morning. So it does hold that you say Yotza Moitzi even on Shabbos morning when all you say is Bar Pi Hagafen. So there is no issue, there's no such din, they're not allowed to drink before I drink. Tosfos by Yosef is a different word, that the whole din is not, it's not a din bechlal. It's not a din bechlal. The fellow said, Hamoitzi, his stomach's going to eat the bread. How often does it happen that someone says Hamoitzi and he doesn't eat the bread? Once out of 20,000 times. A religious person says Hamoitzi, he's going to eat the bread right away, he's not going to be mamsi. So it's not because calls mom that he doesn't take a bite, he doesn't taste the food, his bichas hanenen didn't take effect yet. No. We know the Birchas Hanen is going to take effect. Of course he's going to Ruba de Ruba. 999 out of 10,000 cases, or better than that, the person who says Hamoitzi, he's going to eat the food. How often does it happen? He doesn't. Of course he's going to eat, and the Bracha is going to take effect. But it's a Midas Daracheretz. It's not Daracheretz. He's the one who said Hamoitzi, and everyone is going to eat. So if it's only a Midas Daracheretz, and then this is quotes from Yerushalmi, this Daracheretz only applies if I have the challah, and I'm slicing up the challah and giving to the other. So that's not Daracheretz. They should eat from the challah that I gave them before I have a bite from the challah. I'm the one who said Hamoitzi, and I'm the one who's cutting up the challah, and they're going to taste the challah, they're going to swallow the challah before me. But what happens if each one has prusas alafanav, each person has his own challah? So then they quote Yerushalmi that there's no problem. And Tosfos suggests even another version in the Yerushalmi. The only time it's a violation of Derech Eretz is, I have a challah, I said Hamoitzi for the whole group, and then before I have a chance to slice, to cut out a piece of challah and take a nibble, they're grabbing all the people at the table and pulling out pieces from the challah. I didn't even slice anything for them. But if I slice, then I pass it down the table, so that's Midas Derech Eretz, they're allowed to eat. Even, there isn't even a violation of Midas Derech Eretz. One version of Tosfos is that we only say there's no violation of Midas Derech Eretz if each person has his own challah in front of him. But if I'm cutting up the challah and I'm giving enough of my challah, then Derech Eretz dictates to have to wait for me. The other version of Tosfos is no. Even if I'm cutting up the challah, but I passed it down the table, so there's no violation of Derech Eretz. I passed down the challah, let him eat his own tape. That's why I passed it down. When is it a violation of Derech Eretz? I didn't have a chance to cut a piece from the challah yet, and they're already grabbing from the challah. I didn't even slice for them. So that's a violation of Derech Eretz. So these are the different suggestions. So the what's interesting over here is the fundamental machlokes between the Tosfos here and the Tosfos there in Pesachim Kuvav and Aleph, whether the halacha ein asim hashem litam klum at shiutam hamavarech, is it a din in Hilchas Birchas Hanenin, because Birchas Hanenin wasn't chal yet until a person eats the food. It's not the same as Birchas Hamitzvahs. Kiddush on Shabbos morning, that story in Pesachim Kuvav is Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Kiddush on Shabbos morning, Tosfos claims, and their dispute with the Ritva is the same as Kiddush on Friday night, that you say Yotza Moitzi even on the Bar Pi Hagafen part. So even though Kiddush on Shabbos morning doesn't come with another bracha, you still say Yotza Moitzi on that. So that's the fundamental machlokes, whether this din, Eina Masim Hashem Litum Klum, is because of Midas Derech Eretz. Then you have two variations within Tosfos. What exactly does that mean? Or should I assume that no, that it's not mitam derech eretz, it's mitam hilchas birchas hanenin? See, that's the shaila. What about The Ritva has a chiddush that Shabbos morning. At Shabbos morning, I cannot be moitzi someone else with kiddush if I already was yotze. He says only on Friday night. The Gemara in the end of the third parak from Rosh Hashanah says yotze moitzi, even on Bar Pergaf and Akiddush. After that, the Ritva says himsochem anadav. That's only on Friday night where the Bar Pergafen comes together with the kiddush. Just like the kiddush, I can be moitzi them. I can be moitzi them with the Bar Pergafen also. But on Shabbos morning, that's the whole kiddush only consists of the Bar Pergafen. So it's a regular birchas haninus. I cannot be moitzi them if I'm not drinking along with them. That's Rabbi Kivega has been signed to this ritva. There are more pasuk in the Shulchan Aruch like the Tesis, but you can be moitzi even on Shabbos morning. Yeah.
What is there referring to where he's not going to drink wine, or in a case where he's going to drink wine but he just happened to have already said kiddush?
If I already said kiddush, even if I am going to drink wine, but I don't need the bar piagofen. I already said bar piagofen before. Well, let's say I don't plan to drink. I already benched. I'm going to say kiddush for another group. I'm just going to say bar piagofen. I'm not going to drink the wine at all. If I am going to drink the wine and I need the bar piagofen, I'm not in the middle of drinking. If I am going to drink the wine, so then it's good. I'm saying bar piagofen for myself. So migo that it works for me. It works for them too.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes, it was a problem between, you know, you know, certain parts of Kiddush, people sing the parts of Kiddush together or something. Shabbat said that for the year, but that's okay.
Would have been okay lahatchila too, but not holding the cup of wine. More correct is whoever is saying the Kiddush is supposed to hold the cup of wine.
That's not supposed to, but if they're holding their own cup of wine,
yeah, if each one has his own cup of wine that's molly, that has a revius. If it doesn't have a revius, then you don't have. If each one's cup of wine is molly with a revius, it's even good lahatchila. I'll say half the kiddush from him. I'll say half the kiddush myself, and everything is alayayim. There's a shayla on Shabbos morning. See, the ritva holds at Shabbos morning, the bar piagofen is a plain old bichas hanen. So there's a shayla on Shabbos morning. If I say kiddush, and I'm the only one who drinks the wine, the others don't drink wine, are they yaitzeh? On Friday night, most of the Rishonim hold that you are Yotze. Most of the Rishonim hold Friday night. I'm a Verch Tzor Shiyitam. One person has to take a sip of wine. And once one person had a sip of wine, everyone is Yotze. How do they know? How do the Rofa Rishonim know? Because the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Mem. The Gemara in Erevin says that the Shechyonu and Yontev, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, can be recited Afilu Bashuk. You can even say Shechyonu as you're walking around in the street. Shechyonu v'kimonu v'gionu l'azman hazeh. We're excited over the fact that we survived another year, and it's Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, whatever, Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, really, Shechyonu am Rafi l'bashuk, but we enhance the hashivas of the Bracha Shechyonu by saying it alakos. So we say, at the end of the Kiddush, we say the Shechyonu alakos. So the Gemara asks, what about Yom Kippur? First, the Gemara has a shot, do you say Shechyonu am Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, there's an obligation. It's not just the Rishus. One is obligated to recite Shechyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara has a Shaila. On Rosh Hashanah you say Kiddush. So you say Shechyonu at the conclusion of the Kiddush, like on Pesach Shavuos. So what about Yom Kippur? There is no Kiddush. You're not allowed to eat any food. So you say Shechyonu, Shaloi Lakos. But wouldn't you be enhancing the Chashivas of the Shechyonu if you would recite Shechyonu Alakos? So the Gemara says, no, but you have to drink it. You don't accomplish anything if you say Alakos, Amorat Tzor Sheitim, somebody has to drink it. So who's going to drink it? So the Gemara says, should I give it to a child, to a tinoik? The Gemara says that's a very bad form of chinuch. The child, after he grows up, may remember that as a child, the rabbi gave him the wine to drink, and he still continued to drink on Yom Kippur, and that'll be a disaster. Then the Gemara says, why not say Shechyonu on Erev Yom Kippur? Before Kedusha Sayyam is Chal, the Gemara says, no, if you say Shechyonu, then it means that it automatically becomes a Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur. It's a Tesefes Yonta Balkoch, you have no choice. So the Gemara said there, Leisvi Liyanuka. Why don't we give the wine? We'll say the Kiddush. The Chazan is bar mitzvah. The Chazan will say Kiddush and Shul. Everybody will say amen. We'll all be Yotze. And it's called Kiddush al Hayayin. Who's going to drink it? We'll give it to the Tinuk. But how are we Yotze? If I'm a Tzor Sheyitam, if the din requires that, it's only called the Bracha Lakos. If each person who wants to be Yotze takes a sip of wine, so how does the Gemara say? Leisvi liyinuke. Everyone will be Yotze. Shechyonu al Hakos on Yom Kippur by the Shechyonu that the Chazan says, and the child will drink. So most of the Rishayim say, see from that Gemara, that it's called the Bracha Lakos, even on behalf of those people that don't drink. In the Sefer HaMichtom, one of the Baal Yatosis, In the Sefer HaMichdam on Arvei Pesachim, he quotes his father every so often. So he quotes from his father. That Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem is talking about Shechiyonu on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, whenever, let's say, Sheva Brachas, so they say Bracha Lakos. Bracha Lakos, as long as you have one person drink, it's called Bracha Lakos. But talking about Kiddush, Kiddush Ala Yayin is for the purpose of, to be Kaveh the Suda, L'shem Suda Shabbos. So whoever doesn't drink the wine is not Yotzei Kiddush. That's what the Sefer HaMichdam holds. And he says you can't prove from the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem is talking about on Yom Kippur, about Shechiyonu Ala Kos. So just Shechiyonu Ala Kos is like Bichas Nisuin Ala Kos. So as long as one person drinks, it's not for the purpose of Kviya Suda. But Kiddush Ala Yayin, Leil Shabbos, and Shabbos in the morning is for the purpose of being Kviya Suda. So whoever doesn't drink is not Yotzei. So that opinion is not accepted. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote it. They assume on Friday night for sure, even the people who don't drink any wine, everyone's Yotzei. The Shabbos, what about Shabbos morning? The Ritva claims, in Pesachim Kuvav, he disagrees with Tosfos. He says that you can't say Yotzei Motzei on Bar Pei HaGofen on Shabbos morning, because the Bar Pei HaGofen on Shabbos morning is a regular plain old Bichas HaNehenen. So if it's a regular plain old Bichas HaNehenen, how can I say Kiddush and be Motzei everybody else if they're not drinking any wine? If we're all drinking, so I'll say Bar Pei HaGofen, I'm drinking, you're drinking, we're all drinking, and everyone is Yotzei. The Bar Pei HaGofen relates to everybody. But if it's a plain Bichas HaNehenen and I'm the only one who's going to drink, the others are not going to drink, so where is that a Bracha Lakos? It's only a Bichas HaNehenen, so whoever doesn't drink, so how does it relate to them? So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan and the Nitziv were brothers-in-law. Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was the sister of the Nitziv. So they both wrote a chibur on the Shiltis, I think. No, the Aruch HaShulchan wrote on the Sefer Yosha. But they both medayik from the same. They're both medayik from the same Shiltis. In the Nitziv, the Aruch HaShulchan, they're both medayik from the same Shiltis, that it would appear that the Kiddush on Shabbos morning, whoever doesn't drink the wine is not Yotzei the Kiddush. So this was the Nitziv wrote it in his commentary on the Shultas. So he wrote when he was very young, before the age of 20. He wrote his whole commentary on the Shultas. So apparently it wasn't that popular. So at some later point, Rav Elbala Soloveitchik mentioned this to Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim said it's utterly ridiculous. It's against all the Rishonim. But then they realized that after Rav Elbala told it to Rav Chaim, from that time on, Rav Chaim would always be makpid to drink some of the wine. Maybe it's not so ridiculous. That's a shame. Maybe it's not so ridiculous. If you say, like Tosfos, that the Bar Pei HaGofen on Shabbos morning, you can eat mighty others even though you yourself are not drinking, so you're treating the Bar Pei HaGofen differently from a Birchas HaNehenen. So maybe just reciting Bar Pei HaGofen, as long as someone is drinking the wine, maybe everyone is Yotzei. But according to the Ritva and Pesachim, who argues, he says, no, that din that Yotzei Mitzi on Bar Pei HaGofen, I'm kidding, is only on Leil Shabbos. But the Bar Pei HaGofen comes in conjunction with the Bracha of Kiddush. But on Shabbos morning, all you have is Bar Pei HaGofen. So it's a pure Bichas HaNehenen. So if it's a pure Bichas HaNehenen, how can I say Bar Pei HaGofen? It relates to everybody else, even though no one's drinking. I'm the only one who's drinking wine, the others are not drinking. So how does it relate to them? If it's a plain old Bichas HaNehenen. So that's the Shailah. The Ritva sounds a little bit like he holds from this idea from the Nitziv also, that they say from the Shultas. Whoever doesn't drink is not yet. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow, I'd like to finish. I'd like to finish till the night. There's hardly anything left. And then we already learned till the Nochri. We already converted the Ger. And again, Shema V'yitol. So maybe we'll start Chazar. Maybe tomorrow we'll just finish up Amin Yisayma and so on. There's an important taste of the Bir Avach here. And Amin Yisayma with the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph. And then we'll start Chazar. So where the Chazar starts from, I think, Moitzi and Hamoitzi. That's what we left off? No, the bottom of Lamed Ches and Nun Aleph. Nashim and Avodim, we already did. We already did that. We started in that Gemara. The women always go first in America. So we started with the Nashim and the Avodim. Evet Kiim Lachia. And then, so basically, tomorrow we will have finished till Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So we'll start the Hazara tomorrow. On Thursday afternoon, 1:30, I'm leaving Eretz Yisrael. So maybe I'll have to give Yishan Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. It'll be Chazor. Tomorrow we'll start Chazor, we'll continue. Then next week, Sunday and Monday, I won't be here. I'm coming back Monday afternoon. So I'll miss Sunday and Monday Chazor. So will Chazor would happen? Okay. We'll continue Chazor on Tuesday.